Welcome to Watch With Us.
Watch With Us.
An inside look into your favorite TV shows, which delivers the latest TV news that you want to know about. Here's your host.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Us Weekly's Emily Longaretta.
Welcome back to the Watch With Us podcast. I am your host, Emily Longaretta, the senior entertainment editor at Us Weekly. This week, I'm so excited to welcome my guest, Scott Porter, to the podcast. He, of course, is very well known from his roles in Friday Night Lights and Heart of Dixie, as well as many other projects. But his latest project is Netflix's Ginny and Georgia, where he plays the mayor of the town that Ginny and Georgia, a mother-daughter duo, move to. And I don't even want to say anything else about it. The series is fun, lighthearted. I watched it in 2 days. I really enjoyed it. I think it's something that starts some conversations the way any good kind of teen drama would do, but also is really interesting the different relationships between, of course, the mother and daughter, but also between the friends at school, the mother and son, the brother and sister. There is a lot of different relationships in that. And of course, one of them is with Mayor Paul, which is Scott Porter's character. So I just want to let him kind of take it away because he really goes through his journey of being an actor and being on some really big shows, but still, you know, keeping his focus on what's the most important to him in life. So without any more wait, here is our interview with Scott Porter.
Let's start by talking about Ginny and Georgia and why you were drawn to it. So kind of what made you want to take it on to begin with?
It was an interesting year for me that year. I had taken a step back and kind of said, you know what, I need to get back to what I loved doing. I need to get back to what felt like smaller, more impressive storytelling. I went back to theater that year. I did a run of the last 5 years with Janelle Parrish in a very small theater. We did it in the Round out here in Los Angeles, and it was like a 90-seat theater. And it was just such a personal story. And it was a lot of fun to do. And then this script came along, and it had such a tone to it that knew what it was immediately, which I think a lot of times you read a script, especially a television show, you know, in the pilot, maybe not as much, but as you read more of it, maybe it's kind of still trying to find its way, find itself. It's trying to find its tone. And this at its core is a very small story about a woman fighting for her family and her children fighting to find out what their family really is based upon. And it just drew me to it immediately. The tone of it, Sarah, our creator's voice, is so clear throughout the entire script, but not in a way that it's imprinting itself upon every character. Every character has a very clear voice of its own, but the overall tone and voice of the script, I could just hear it immediately and understood what it was. And at the time, the script, it just felt very edgy to me as well. And it had just such a cutting edge to it. And, you know, of course, through a couple of revisions, we lost some language. You know, I think the original script was very bombastic and definitely had a little bit more of an adult tone to it. And it just all attracted me all at once. And to play a character that the character that I'm playing, Paul Randolph, is a mayor of this town who has it all together, or you think he does at first, was very attractive as well, because he's a full-fledged adult. He's not finding his way. He has his purpose. He knows what he wants. And to play a character like that is not something that I've played before. Mm-hmm. So it was the character, the tone of the script, the voice, and the fact that at its core, it's a very small story that I really was interested to sit in the back seat and watch, you know, kind of play out in front of me.
Yeah, I was going to ask you kind of, you know, you've been in this industry for so long. What, when you do get pitch scripts, has there been times in your life that you're like, not right now, I don't want to tell this story? Or it's like, it just kind of depends on the time.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of projects that I just flat out stepped away from. Mm-hmm. Coming out of Heart of Dixie, I had a test offer for a show that was very dark, and it dealt with law enforcement and criminals. And it was a very dark angle. And we were getting ready to have our first child. My wife and I, Kelsey, our little boy McCoy was on the way. And I just didn't want to bring that home every single day. And I'm an actor that can usually disconnect from work and can live my life outside of it. But to bring that energy home every day, I wasn't sure if I could. And so there are definitely times that I've read a script and gone, you know what, this script is great, but I'm not sure that this material is for me right now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I could fully dive into it. And I'm not sure that if I did give myself fully to it, that I could leave it at work.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, I've been very fortunate. A show like Heart of Dixie came along at a time when my wife and I were getting ready to be married and getting ready to start a family. And that lightness, that airiness that that show had, was something that I was really just ready for and so thankful for. And now going into Ginny and Georgia, I think the world is in a place where we're so hungry to gain perspective, other people's perspectives, and so hungry to hear stories that maybe haven't been told yet. And I'm ready at this point in my career to sit shotgun or sit in the backseat and let other people's stories be told, because there are plenty of characters, whether it be film, television, comic books, that I've been able to relate to my whole life. And I don't think others have had that same opportunity. Yeah. And I just want to be a part of someone else's story, I think, right now for a little bit, much like in my personal life. I just want to be a part of my kids' story and kind of shape, you know, their adventure in a small way, but it still allow them to live it all their own. And so that's, I think, the timing of Ginny and Georgia for me was kind of perfect as well.
It's such an interesting take that you say it that way, because as actors, it seems, you know, are always kind of thrown into the spotlight. And for you, it's kind of like, I want to watch these new stories be told. And I spoke to Brianne about this, and she kind of said the same thing about, you know, watching a woman raising a little Black girl who she had no experience with and watching her story unfold and how important it was to watch that shine. So it's so interesting that you both kind of said the, in a way, the same thing, because we are learning about such different stories that we haven't told before through Ginny and Georgia.
Yeah. You know, I was so impressed watching Brianne just every single day, and because she's not actually a mother either. So there are so many levels that she had to really dive into and give herself to. And she carries the show hand in hand with Tony in such a spectacular way. And for me, you know, I've always been, I guess, in the core group of a show, you know, that I've been a series regular on with Friday Night Lights. I was one of the young kids and I was part of this core group, even though separated from the team for most of the show, but still this young group of actors. And we would hang out together outside of work and all of these things. Heart of Dixie, we were such a tight knit, small ensemble that we were around each other all the time. We were always constantly in each other's storylines. On this show, I'm separated from a lot of the young actors. And though I may have a part to play in this town of Wellsbury, I'm not a constant in their life. So I didn't see much of their stories actually being told. I didn't see this being shot. So when I sat down and watched the show, I was day in, day out, just amazed at the collection of talent we have and the youth of this story. And I was amazed to just watch Brianne and Tony just be powerhouses the entire time. And it was really incredible to watch, and seeing Ginny's story and watching Georgia struggle through everything, because a lot of people think parents have it all figured out. They don't. They're just like the rest of us. They go through every day questioning themselves constantly. Mm-hmm. And you make a choice and you have to live with it. And so watching her struggle with making those choices and then watching Ginny have to struggle with the repercussions of those choices, I think is such an incredible experience to watch. So for me, I literally, when I say I'm in the back seat or on the sideline watching as a viewer, almost I'm so disconnected. And so like to sit here and watch them and know how talented they are when we're working together, but then just see it in full display as the show is unfolding as a viewer, it's a pretty amazing experience.
Yeah, that's really cool. Brianne was telling me that you guys actually had an episode of Heart of Dixie together, which is so funny. You guys met on that and then kind of reunited, or did you stay friends, or how did that kind of work?
You know, I think it was one of those kind of things where we just did one episode together, but she was so phenomenal and we had so much fun. It was a great episode. It ended up with a, ice cream sundae food fight in the kitchen. And it was just one of those late Friday nights. It was a Friday day, we call them, where we were just shooting until 3:30 in the morning. And, you know, you start to lose a little steam sometimes when you're doing that. And neither of us did. We were so in all day long, just like going after it. And I had such a respect for her, but then had to finish the rest of that season and moved on to the next project, as we do as actors. But I always kept an eye out, and, you know, the passage, you know, like seeing her name pop up, I'd be like, oh, wow. You know, and almost like celebrating in a way, like, good, good. Other people are seeing how talented she is in the way that I saw it that one day. Mm-hmm. I had nothing to do with it, but you sit in there and just you're a rooting section, a cheering section for fellow actors. And I, you know, I think sometimes people misconstrue, are we like super competitive with each other? No, I think we celebrate successes. Mm-hmm. And watching her just crush project after project and now really lead a show and the way that she did, it's so deserved. And it's way different than our little episode on Heart of Dixie, but that's the greatest thing, is to see someone's true depth, just be able to be on full display, because she is so funny, but she is so powerful. Mm-hmm. And she really just delivers. So
I speak to a lot of actors about kind of, you know, in their journey along the way, a lot of people that star on a huge hit show. I mean, Friday Night Lights was huge. Heart of Dixie were huge. I feel like a lot of actors struggle to, you know, get out of that pigeonhole. It seems from an outsider that you didn't really have that struggle. I mean, you had a ton of big roles after that with, you know, obviously The Good Wife and Scorpion and a lot of these, the voice work you've done alone. What is that secret? What is that, the way to not get stuck in that? Because we see a whole new generation of young kids, especially even on Ginny and Georgia, a ton of really good actors, these young actors starting out, to not get into that kind of rut when they're trying to grow their careers.
Yeah. You know, for a little while I did have, I guess I was like the new James Marsden, in the fact that, like, if you watched The Notebook or the Superman Returns movie or any number of films, for a little while, he was like the good guy who does nothing wrong, but still never gets the girl. Right. And so I kind of did that a couple of times. I was like, oh no, I'm that good. I'm the nice guy who doesn't ever get the, but I think it really boils down to, and this is why Ginny and Georgia is so important to me, is it really boils down to people were willing to give me opportunities to play different roles. And that's something I was afforded for a very long time. And that's something that a lot of people aren't afforded, and it's not cool. It's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this show created by women, really not just for women, but to tell the stories of powerful women and powerful young girls, and just allowing that story to be on full display. Like, you know, and talking with Brianna, and I don't want to speak for her, but taking on this role, you know, you're taking on the role of a 30-year-old mother. What does that do, you know, in the field of acting? And the fact that that's even a question is so ridiculous. You know, she can do anything. She could play anything, and she just needs to be afforded that opportunity. And going forward, Tony and the rest of our young cast, like, I don't believe that there's anything they can't do. So I want them to have that same opportunity. Mm-hmm. Those stories need to be told. They deserve to be told. And we have so many talented actors of different races, different genders, you know, and they all deserve to have as much range as I've been afforded. Mm-hmm. And I'm very aware of that. And so I just, you know, I'm fortunate that I never, you know, got pigeonholed 100%. I never played a role big enough where somebody would only think of me in that role for the rest of my career. You know, I tested for Captain America once upon a time, and I would have loved to have done that, but, you know, that's a daunting challenge all on its own. So I've just been very fortunate. And I think acting is a part of my life. It's not all of my life. Mm-hmm. And I think approaching it from that angle for me has also allowed me to kind of come in and out of projects that have, you know, different slices of who I am in them. And, you know, it's been a fun journey, and it's really been great, but I'm very aware of the privilege that I had to be allowed to play all of those roles.
Definitely. Mayor Paul, as I like to call him, because I think when he introduced himself as that, I like laughed out loud and thought about it all the time when I was watching. So I feel like that's just so charming and cute. when he's a kind guy, he cares about others for the most part. Is that something, did you bring yourself to that role? Because it seems like he's similar to you in some ways. How did you kind of tap into him?
You know, something that ends up showing itself that I can never seem to truly hide in almost any of my roles is I'm a highly competitive person. I played football in high school and college, and like, you know, my friends nicknamed me Max Effort, but not in a good way. Because when we would go play pickup basketball, I was the guy on every fast break. I was the guy playing the hard defense all day, every day. Once we get into the fray, I have a hard time relenting, I guess. And with Mayor Paul, you'll find out through the course of this thing that he wants to win. He's a sitting mayor, but he's in the middle of a reelection campaign. And you see some of that come to light. And so that part of me, I think, is definitely in Paul Randolph. Mayor Paul, as he introduces himself, completely forgetting any like actual way to introduce himself as a normal person. He's like Mayor Paul. But you know, I think that part of him is definitely from me. I think that lends itself, and you could see it in George Tucker, and you could definitely see it in Jason Street over time. I'm just drawn to characters who have that desire to fight, you know, in whatever area they're in, whether it's for people or to win a campaign or to win a game, you know, that always shines through. But I was really excited, like I said earlier, with Mayor Paul to play a true adult who has life mostly figured out, because I now having two kids, now being married, you know, I still question myself every now and then, but to play him in a way gave me a little bit more confidence that the decisions I'm making are the right ones, and that you just have to go with it. And, you know, you maybe sometimes if you break a couple eggs, you know, you got to clean it up later, but you got to make the decisions and forge ahead with confidence right now and hope that what you're doing is right. And so again, it's all that timing, of life and work going together. And it was really interesting to play a guy who has a bit more control than any other character I've ever played before. And that was really exciting to me and enticing.
Yeah, absolutely. Are your kids aware of what you do that you're on TV?
Yes, they are. They are so young that they can't really watch a lot of what I do. They have seen me on TV a couple of times. And what is most fun though for me is they know that I do voices in cartoons, and they know that I have play superheroes in video games, and they can hear my voice better than anyone else in this world. And when I read them stories at night, you know, they ask me quite often to do all of the voices. And so I give every character a voice, and because they hear all of my different voices, they can hear my different voices in any project. And I'll have a friend play a game and say, "Oh, I didn't even know that was you. That's awesome." But my kids, they'll never miss me. Right. They'll never not be able to pick out my voice. So they've seen me, my little boy's favorite thing to hear me in is the Black Panther animated Marvel cartoon. And I play Black Panther's brother, adopted brother, White Wolf. And he loves listening to that. We can only show them parts of it. You know, we try not to show them all the fisticuffs, but they know what I do. I'm not sure they fully grasp how many people watch Daddy or how many people love things that Daddy's been a part of. But, you know, they also know I have to do cameos, and they also know I have to record in a closet in the house right now, because the past year, that's what it's been all about. So they know a little bit more now that I've had to work from home as much as I have lately. So yeah, they're aware. I'm not sure they fully grasp, you know, the magnitude of it, but they know that Daddy just plays for a living.
Do you plan on showing them like some of your stuff once they get a little older?
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting because a long time ago, my sister was born on my 15th birthday. And when Friday Night Lights came out 15 years ago, almost, my little sister was a teenager, starting high school. And somewhere around the fourth or fifth episode, my mom called me and she said, I'm not going to let Ariana watch this anymore. And I said, why? She said, there was just a scene where a girl went into the guidance counselor's office and said, that she was propositioned by two football players to have a threesome with him. She goes, I don't think my daughter needs to be hearing stuff like that. And I said, Mom, and let me start by saying this. My mom is an amazing parent through and through. She was my only parent for a while of my life. My stepfather didn't come into my life until a little bit later. And she was a single mother for a while. And she taught me a lot about the world and prepared me a lot for the world. And so I said to her, Mom, I said, this is the kind of stuff that is talked about now. You prepared me so well for myself to go into high school, but now 15 years later, this is the evolution of what people are talking about. So would you rather watch it and have a conversation with your daughter about it? Or would you rather not and have her have a conversation with other kids at school about it, or feel like she can't go to someone and talk to them about it? And I think that, you know, Friday Night Lights was very important in a way. And it's the same way that Ginny and Georgia is going to be important, I think, for a lot of families to watch. You know, I think there are going to be some scenes that are, you know, somebody going to be like, whoa, this is a little uncomfortable watching it with my parents, but it allows families to really have a real conversation. And, you know, I think eventually, yeah, sure, my kids are going to watch shows like Ginny and Georgia or shows like Friday Night Lights, and we're going to have conversations. And I would rather have that conversation than bury my head in the sand and have someone else teach them how to get through something like that.
Totally. Well, if they watch Friday Night Lights and then Ginny and Georgia, they're going to realize how quickly high school has changed a lot.
The whole world has changed. The whole world has changed. And I think one of the things that is so impressive to me about Ginny and Georgia is just how deftly it drives home that we are in an age of judging people immediately at a glance, and how we cannot afford to be doing that. It's so easy now to get a snapshot of a person and apply your entire feeling of what they must be like without having any facts behind it so quickly. And Ginny and Georgia deals with a lot of that. You know, you meet a lot of characters in this show that you cannot take at face value. And we shouldn't be doing that as the human race anyway. You know, we shouldn't take a snapshot or take something at face value and then apply our feelings on the situation to them, because we don't know what they're going through. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't really know who they are. And so for us to make these snap judgments is just one issue that we have as people. And I've seen it get a little worse, you know, with the way that we're so easily able to reach out to others through social media. So I think that's another thing with this show that is so important, is you get more than a snapshot of someone. You get a total story of every character in this show. They show you sides of everyone and different perspectives for everyone. And that allows you to really have empathy for each of these characters. And I wish we could apply that on a day-to-day basis in the real world.
One day we'll get there. Scott, thank you so much for chatting today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for having me. I'm just excited for people to see this thing. I think there's been a lot of easy, you know, elevator pitch versions of what we are as a show. And I'm here to tell you that we respect all the shows that we get compared to 100%, but we really are our own show. And I think it's so worth watching. I think the people that created the show, that help us run the show, if you look at all of our directors, all the people that are in control of our show, they have such strong voices and such unique perspective. And I can't wait for people to go along on this ride with us.
I agree. I tell everyone, you should always give a show an episode or two, but I said, in this case, don't read anything. Watch the first episode. If you're not hooked, watch the second, but I can't imagine not being hooked after the first.
Yeah, my wife, who watches a lot of TV and a lot of TV in this vein, she couldn't stop watching it. And it was done in two nights. And she turned to me, and my wife is the person I trust most in this world, but her reaction told me everything I needed to know about what we'd done with this show. She turned to me and she said, Scott, this show is very good. That was exciting. She turned to me and said, this show is very good. Like, in such an earnest and honest way that I was like, wow, okay, we did it. We accomplished something, because she was almost a little speechless, you know, and to watch my wife, to watch the show kind of through her lens, and then to hear her just say very simply, you guys have really done it.
Yeah.
This is a great show. And I could tell how proud she was, you know, that I was able to have that opportunity, and, you know, that going away and working on this thing was all worth it. So I can't wait for people to watch, and thank you so much again for having me.
As always, guys, we're going to wrap up with a few shout outs, starting with our woman of the week. And this week I just checked out the new show on Netflix called Behind Her Eyes, which is of course based on the book. And I want to call out Simona Brown. She plays Luis in the show. Blew me away. I definitely would recommend checking that out. I don't even want to say anything else, because there's a lot of twists and turns in this one, and it's a really great watch. My woman to watch is going to go to Billie Eilish, because her new documentary drops on Apple TV Plus on Friday. It's definitely a look inside her life and a reminder that she is a 19-year-old girl trying to also venture through her life while being a superstar. So it's a very interesting doc. And then for what to watch, there's a lot coming this week. The Golden Globes, of course, are on Sunday, so I have to call that out. But Discovery Plus has Design Star Next Generation. So if you're looking for some home reno stuff, that is a fun one. Season 4 of Snowfall debuts on FX. The new Punky Brewster debuts on Peacock. The Walking Dead returns to AMC. And City on a Hill returns to Showtime. So there's a lot to catch this week. So make sure to let me know what you are watching, loving, hating. Reach out on social media at Emily Longaretta. If you have shows you want me to talk about, or TV stars you would love to hear from, let me know. As always, if you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review. Leave us a comment. We would really like to hear your feedback. As always, if you also have TV questions, I'm willing to do some Q&A sessions on here as well, because I know some of you have reached out and said, you know, I've asked a question, I want an answer, and I've missed it. So I will keep an eye out on my social media and on Us Weekly social media. If you have any TV specific questions, I will do my best to bring you the answers. As always, guys, stay safe, and until next week.